This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. We give you this address because we're always glad to hear from our radio friend. This is the address of the building of the North Shore Church. It's on the corner of Sheridan Road and Wilson Avenue in uptown Chicago, where I've been pastor, preaching the gospel of the grace of God for more than 31 years. It's been a wonderful privilege in this large city. During the time, also, we have been sending out the same glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ by means of the radio. I became pastor here in July the 17th, 1923, went on the air broadcasting way back in 1924, just 1 year from the week that I became pastor here. So we've been broadcasting, always contending for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. I was saved years ago reading the Bible. I've been reading the Bible from that day to this. I have no more doubt about this Bible being the Word of God than if God would come into this studio and speak. All Scripture is God-breathed. Holy men of old were borne along by the Holy Spirit to give us the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures cannot be broken. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. We're born again by the Word of God. We're built up by the Word of God. We're cleansed by the Word of God. As the psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. When we're to stand against the tricks and wiles of Satan, we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're told in James to receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted Word which is able to save your soul. So, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as God's living Word? Well, the Bible also is not only the written Word, but it's also the living Word. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, as we read in Hebrews 4:12. Now, the very center and heart of that Bible, to me, one of the most important messages we find in the first four verses of the 8th chapter of Romans. I have often said this, if I had just one opportunity to preach to an audience and would never preach again, I don't know but what the first four verses of the 8th chapter of Romans is perhaps the, well, I would say, to my mind, the most important, or they're not more important than those four verses. For in those four verses, Romans 8, 1 to 4, you have the story of the three laws. And in a sense, the Bible is constructed around those three laws. One is called the law of sin and death. The other is called the law of the Lord. The law that was given by Moses, that means not only the Ten Commandments, the handwriting of ordinances, when God, as we're told in Exodus 31:18, that God wrote on two tables of stone with his own finger. And then the other law is called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We read in Romans 8:2 that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, I've said this, and I say it again, the sum total of our Christian responsibility in life, our message, is with respect to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, first to appropriate, then to demonstrate, and then to propagate. Now remember that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. First, appropriate it. Second, demonstrate it. And third, propagate it. Now, the law of sin and death is a universal law in full force and effect today. We're told that every 24 hours, more than 2,500 people die in the United States. And 100 years ago, there were more than 750 million people who were living then who are now dead. It takes only about 12 years to wipe out by physical death a number of people equal to the population of the United States. So remember this. This is a dying nation. And if it were not for sin, there would not be death. But death is far more serious than the absence of physical life. There's a threefold death in the Bible. The great majority of the people that are walking about the streets today, they're dead. They're dead in trespasses and sin. For remember, all the adults of the world, according to God's book, in this present age, they're all divided into just two groups, dead sinners and living saints. There's no third group. You are either a dead sinner or a living saint, if you're old enough to even consider the matter. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." And we read the same thing in Colossians 2:13 and Ephesians 2:4-6, that we were dead and we have been made alive. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said in Romans 6:13, "Submit yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead." Well, ask yourself this question. You may be a good, moral, upright, religious, faithful church member belonging to some denomination, but are you a dead sinner or a living saint? Have you passed out of Adam into Christ? Have you been baptized into the Lord Jesus, and have you been raised to walk with him in newness of life? Have you been raised up and made to sit down in the heavenlies in Christ? This you experience by the grace of God when the very moment you meet God at Calvary. Remember, Jesus Christ in Luke 12:50 said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened till it be accomplished?" When he died on the cross, he experienced his death baptism, and when you come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, just that very moment you're baptized into his death, and you're raised to walk in newness of life, and you're risen to seek those things which are above, and God says you've been made to sit down in the heavenlies in Christ. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it up again," he says in the 10th chapter of John, and he did that very thing. And we read in Acts 1:3 that he showed himself alive after his death by many infallible proofs. Peter says in the 10th chapter of Acts that when Christ was in his resurrection body, some of us ate with him. And remember what he said, "A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." Then they saw him ascend up into heaven. And he spoiled principalities and powers by his death and resurrection. He hath abolished death, and he's brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and destroyed and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we're serving a glorified man at God's right hand, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Now by his death and resurrection, because he was inherently divine, because he was omnipotent, and he was able to lay down his life and take it up again, as he said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up," he established a new law. It's the law of life. Now the other two laws are called the law of death. By Adam, remember, is the entrance of sin. By Moses is the knowledge of sin. And by Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of sin. The law was given by Moses, and by the law is the knowledge of sin, because sin is a transgression of the law. And by the law let every mouth be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Therefore, in 2 Corinthians 3:9, the Ten Commandments, the law that was given by Moses, is called the ministration of condemnation. And in the 7th verse of 2 Corinthians 3, it's called the ministration of death. Well, you can't get life and justification in the ministration of death and condemnation. No, you must flee away from Sinai to Calvary and the open tomb and believe that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now remember what it says there, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh, to condemn sin in the flesh. He was made of a woman. He was made under the law. He was tested by the law, tested by the world, tested by Satan. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And he was made after the power of an endless life. And he had no sin, because he never transgressed the law. Christ never had to apologize to man or confess to God. He never made one single mistake in word, thought, or deed. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He was God in human form. He was inherently divine. He was inherently omnipotent. And so he was inherently righteous and sinless. And on the cross he was made sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. The wages of sin is death. He never sinned, but he died. He died because of my sin. He died because of your sin. And remember, God says, he by the grace of God tasted death for every man. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. God's word is true and very pure. His word forever will endure. The Christian's sword with which they fight, their daily food and lamp and light. It discerns the thoughts and intents too. By God's word we're born anew. Not by good that we have done, but by trusting in God's Son. There is no way of knowing how great is God's love. He is ever bestowing from heaven above. When Christ's blood was flowing on Calvary's tree, God was there showing his great love for me. This is a world of sinners. Sin abounds in every place. But more than sin abounding is God's abounding grace. This grace is all sufficient for every sinner's case. Through Christ who came from heaven and died for all the race. And then when you come by faith to Calvary and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And no longer are you under the law, you're under grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that always having all sufficiency you might abound toward every good work. Now the law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing imperfect. The perfect law found the imperfect sinner and left him imperfect. Because the imperfect sinner could not perfectly keep God's perfect law, then the perfect law could not make the imperfect sinner perfect. So what the law at Sinai could not do, God did for us by establishing a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that makes us free from the law of sin and death. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that you're the ungodly sinner for whom Christ died. We'd be very glad to hear from you. If you want a copy of this message, send the postage. We have published over 150 books and the postage for several books. We'd be very glad to mail them to you. Tell others, please, of our broadcast. This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. Goodbye for this time, and God bless you.